Marvel Maniacs, welcome back to another episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 21, and this is an epic, epic episode here. We have the grand Random Chatter Network crossover event of the year. What?
We're being infiltrated.
We are, actually. We have been completely invaded by the folks from DC Talk. But before we get to them, I do want to make sure that I introduce my regular co-host. John, of course, isn't here. But my loyal and faithful co-host, the one who is genetically blessed.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you? You're such a creep.
Well, we just went from a G-rated podcast to an R-rated right there.
Oh my gosh. Friends, if you want to hear that story, listen to bonus content.
That's right.
Donate to Patreon and listen to the bonus content.
Hi, yes, it is I, Lizzie, the genetically blessed, blessing you with the melodious strains of my voice.
And we also have joining us, as mentioned, from DC Talk and Caped Chronicles, Carrie. How are you today, Carrie?
I'm doing good. I've been, you know, wandering around the house all day, cleaning and stuff. I took the whole day off just for you guys.
Good for you.
Yeah.
This show is a celebration.
It is.
Of all things good.
Yes, it is.
And you didn't bring anyone else with you, right?
No,
just you. Party of one.
It's just me. No, it's just me.
Fantastic. So it's going to be a good show. I was really concerned.
No, wait. Tim cannot have a proper show unless I'm here.
Pay no attention to the guy in the basement.
We managed to have a proper show without you here all the time, Mike.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we are very happy to have you guys here. We are going to, later on in the show, in the episode, we're going to kind of do a group discussion about Venom, which I'm really excited about. We all saw Venom, right?
Yeah.
We did.
Okay, I just want to make sure
that... That'd be really weird if we didn't.
That's a thing. It really would. I'm not quite sure, you know, how someone would be talking about it having not seen it, but... So it will, once we get to that point, it will be a spoiler-filled discussion on Venom, just to give everyone fair warning. We will give you warning once again when we actually get up to it. But up first is our usual news segment. And we have a number of, I think, mostly quick items here. A couple things we'll probably throw a little bit of banter about.
Oh, yeah, for real.
So the first one, if you haven't heard, Iron Fist is done.
Garbage.
Boo hiss.
Garbage.
Good.
Boo hiss.
The one good show Marvel had going for them, and they came in.
I would not go that far, Mike. Iron Fist was improving.
Yes.
The ending of this season, I still want explanations. There's a little Dalek voice in my head demanding explanations.
Okay, no spoilers, because I am going to watch it, even though it's painful.
Yeah, same here. Yeah,
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm with Carrie on this one. I was kind of upset that this one got canceled. I've been no hidden secret that I enjoy Iron Fist. I personally, right under, I think Daredevil's the best in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think Iron Fist is number two. Luke Cage is three, and Jessica Jones is four. And that's not a knock on Jessica Jones. Oof. I think the story was good. I struggled to get through Jessica Jones.
Okay.
But you know, that's me. But I enjoyed Iron Fist. I hate that they're canceling it. I have a theory that I think Disney kind of, they're saying it got canceled, but I think they allowed it, the contract to expire with them on Netflix for it. I can see them reviving this on their streaming platform for a season three. Because it's their money now. They can do what they want to do. They don't have to follow Netflix's obligations. I could see them reviving it on their streaming platform for season 3. That's my opinion.
I can see that.
My guess on this is that they've had enough complaints about it that it's basically not worth them continuing to run it on its own.
Right.
I think they will end up doing a merger with Luke Cage and do an Iron Fist and Power Man Heroes for Hire.
Yeah, that's what show. I think they'll
I'd
do.
Be okay
I think
with
they'll
that.
Do one season of that and then they'll be done.
Well,
I think they'll,
I can see
it'll
that.
Make it stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the chemistry with, I know Lizzie's going to hate this, but I enjoyed when Danny Rand came over to Luke Cage this last season. I enjoyed those episodes he was there.
Yeah, me too.
They were weird. They were so awkward.
I don't know if it was awkward. It was just, I think people had the bad taste in their mouth from the first season, and I think they weren't really too excited about it going in to having him know he was going to be a part of Luke Cage at some point.
See, the thing is, I actually enjoyed the first season of Iron Fist, and I enjoyed him on Defenders, but there was just something that was really off about him being in Luke Cage. It just, something just was weird. It didn't do things well.
Yeah, I think he's super smug and he's like one note for me, and for him to come in and like tell Luke what to do, like that was, I was like, pass.
Well, okay. So Claire asked him to go check on Luke.
No, I know. I still hated it. Like, I know, and I still hated it.
And I'm cool with them having a discussion about, like, some philosophical issues and that kind of thing. Because I actually do find that to be very interesting. But the way it was approached in the episode was just kind of weird.
I could see that.
I don't mind Danny coming in and checking on Luke, but it was like Danny coming in and telling Luke how to be a better superhero. And
yeah.
Gigantic piles of no for me. Like, what I like best about all four of the Defenders, and even into any superhero mashup, is how everyone is individualistically their best and what they bring to a team, which is why I liked Iron Fist's dynamic with the four of them and his play-by-play with Luke, because they are so different. So for Danny to come in and be like, do it my way, do it this way, I was like, get out of this show. Like, get out of here. That part, like, grated on me. And it made it hard for me to want to watch Iron Fist, even though I will watch season 2. It's just made it harder.
Yeah, you got to get it done because Daredevil comes out this Friday.
I know.
As if I'm not behind already with DC Universe app, TV watching.
I'm definitely going to want to skip Iron Fist, I can tell you that.
We'll see what
happens with the character of Iron Fist. I don't think he's going to go away, even if his own series has gone away. So,
well, and the reception to Colleen.
It would be very weird if they just kind of made that character go away.
How far into it Iron Fist are you two?
Just a couple episodes.
Yeah, two episodes.
So you haven't really gotten into any of the Typhoid Mary stuff?
No.
Just introduced to her.
She's just there.
Listen.
I promise, season 2 gets really good.
No, I have heard. I have heard great things about it, which is why I do want to give it a shot. And even with things that I know I don't like, I still try to give them a shot. I'm not like, oh, that's it for me. You know that about me. I think you both know that about me. Is even though there's things I don't like, I try to give every opportunity because I just believe in, like, I don't think it's just, oh, two shots and you're done. So I am going to give it a shot. It just, those are the reasons why I'm not surprised it got canceled. I feel personally he's the weakest link, and I think he would benefit from being rolled into the universe through the other shows personally. So,
well, the dynamic between Colleen and Misty in season 2 is phenomenal.
Okay, I'm excited to see that. I'm not going to lie. That sounds awesome.
I would like to see them, you know, if they're going to cancel Iron Fist or roll him into somebody else, I would love to see them do something with Colleen and Misty in a different series if they could, even if it's for like a 2-season or 3-season series.
I mean, I think dump Iron Fist and have Colleen have her own show, because she was the strongest part for me of that show. And I think that's what I would have liked to see.
Trust me, Lizzie, I think we have a setup for Nightwing.
Good. Well, that's what I'm not,
That's all I'm going to say.
Maybe all that's right, part of this decision to pave the way for something like that.
Yeah. So moving on through the news here, I think with no surprise to anyone, Ryan Coogler is going to be returning as the director for Black Panther 2.
Yeah, I'm totally shocked by that.
I think it's a great decision, yeah, obviously. Sure. And yeah, it's hopefully another home run.
I mean, Marvel does hate making money, so they should probably not hire him.
Probably.
Somebody in Discord is actually did not like that. Tim, wasn't that your wife that was not a fan that they brought him back?
What?
I don't know if she commented on that. I know she wasn't a huge, huge fan of Black Panther movie.
Okay. That may have been what it was. I'm not trying to put words in her mouth or anything, but I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, I thought somebody on Discord disagreed with that when we were talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, she's like, whoever that was is the only person.
Probably.
Which is okay. Like, someone has to dislike it. Not everyone's going to like everything.
Well, I'll jump
in
that person's camp so they don't feel alone. I'll say mad to it as well. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a great move. I really do. I think it's a good move. And if he doesn't want to work there, he can always come over to D.C. Because, you know, we tend to be acquiring Disney's lost assets lately.
Tend to be. You got one. That's not tend to be. That's an isolated situation, bro.
I'm totally dropping Mike from this call.
That's a pretty big incident.
Yeah, that's one.
Oh.
So let's see. What else do we have here?
You guys see what I have to deal with every week?
It's pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
So obviously there's been a lot of speculation on what the name of the Avengers 4 film is going to be. There's been a lot of different things that have been talked about. Things like Avengers Annihilation, Avengers Assemble, Avengers Infinity Gauntlet. Avengers Endgame is one of the more recent ones. And so
one that was like Avenge Us.
I heard Avengers Eternal.
Yeah.
How about someone, Avengers Nobody Knows, Zip Your Lip? How about that one?
There you go.
That's right.
Someone
had asked Don Cheadle on Twitter. They tweeted to him. They said, Don, are you done with the Avengers 4 reshoots? And if so, can you please give us a hint on the title?
Some
people just don't even.
Cheadle tweets back. He says, I shouldn't do this, but because I love you all so much, I'll give you a hint. The title will incorporate letters that will be organized in a coherent fashion with the express purpose of communicating to the consumer the content of the film. I thought that was very clever. Perfectly done.
Mike kicked me out of Skype.
I didn't kick you out of Skype. Don't blame me. You kick yourself out on Sundays.
I have no idea how that keeps happening.
We also had, related to Avengers 4, we had the Russo brothers put out a tweet for when they had wrapped the reshoots. And it's this image. You guys have seen this, right? This kind of like blinding bright blue color coming through this like rectangular slit of some sort.
That's really painful.
Yeah.
I can't look at it for very long. It's just all glare.
Yeah, so like a lot of the speculation that's on what this is kind of like the view from the inside of the Iron Man helmet.
That's
so like through
like
one of the eye slits, looking out at something that would be very bright. So like one of the Infinity Stones or a supernova or something like that, that would be blindingly bright. Maybe that's it. I just don't know.
It's probably the same as the title of Avengers. You don't know, so move on.
I saw something on either Twitter or Facebook where someone had tried to like darken it and
try to
figure out what that is, and it's just nothing discernible.
This is what I hate about this kind of speculation. Like, I know it's fun to like there's a difference between like, oh, it's fun to think about what it might be. And then there's people who are like legitimately like, tell me. Oh, darken it. Oh, put it upside down. Like, settle the F down.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You will know when you know. And why do you want to know right now? I don't understand. I feel like that ruins part of the anticipation to be like, let me like pull it out of people. Like, I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
Chill. Not you, but like them.
I agree.
Everyone chill.
The internet doesn't, unfortunately, Lizzie, the internet does not know how to chill.
The internet has no chill.
The internet has is no chill, incapable.
And the thing is everybody wants to know what's going to happen in the next Avengers. We do. For those who went and saw Infinity War, we want to know what's going to happen. How are they going to get out of this? How are they going to, you know, what are they going to do?
Oh, and, Mike, I have a spoiler for you.
And I know Ant-Man's going to save them all. But
no, you're
going to
find out in the movie. Spoiler alert.
But
we're going to find out in the movie that Ant-Man saves everyone.
Yeah. But
we need to start this whole podcast over again.
It's going to be Captain Marvel. Get over Ant-Man.
Oh. But everybody wants to know, but I think they are going to be if they find out, I think they're going to wish that they hadn't found out.
Yeah.
And everybody can go in there and say, "Oh, I read every spoiler going to movie." There is a difference going to movie after reading every spoiler and going and watching it than going in there spoiler free without watching it. I honestly think
it ruins it.
And me and Carrie were talking about this when we did DC Talk the other week, is that I had not seen the Aquaman trailer right before we recorded because I was, from what I had heard, was that it's going to spoil some things that are going to happen in movie. And I really wanted to go in this with fresh eyes and watch it. I ended up watching the trailer anyways, and I'm glad I did because, you know, he could have just peed on anything and it would have been fine. But
yeah, spoiler alert, he goes swimming.
It's just like that. I mean, I don't think they really want to know, but, you know, curiosity wants to know. They'd rather see the whole movie right now if they could.
Yeah.
But it's just
and
not going
to
happen.
That there's like people get to a fever pitch and it starts to snowball. But I'm, as we have said before, is that like I don't like when they get into TV spots with too much information. Like I stop watching trailers and TV spots at a certain point because I don't want to see that scene said 75 different ways and for you to like show me the fact that the Aquaman 5 minutes of the thing. Wasn't it 5 minutes of the movie?
It was like,
it was about four minutes.
Yeah.
Because it said on the internet, watch 5 minutes of Aquaman. I was like, why are they releasing that? That's the worst. I refuse to watch that. Like, that kind of stuff drives me crazy.
I did. I did watch it. And honestly, after watching it, I thought, okay, that really probably did not, after watching it, you know, I've watched no trailers. That did not give away what that movie's going to be about. It's not like it when they blew it up, when they revealed, you know, Wonder Woman and Doomsday. And Batman v Superman. You know, when they threw that in the trailer, they completely blew a big reveal that they could have used.
Yeah.
And I think that's what hurt them in the movie. Not the movie itself, but rather that they gave a reveal before that. I would hope Warner Brothers would not make that same stupid mistake again and blow something. You know, they've seen the results of doing that. But that's just, you know, my two cents about it.
Yep, I don't disagree. So let's see, we also have an instance of Chris Evans kind of trying to backtrack a bit in something that I don't think he can pull back out of. If you guys remember in our last episode, Lizzie kind of had a bit of an emotional breakdown. Over Chris's tweet where he said, we've officially wrapped on Avengers 4. It was an emotional day, to say the least. Playing this role over the last 8 years has been an honor to everyone in front of the camera, behind the camera, and in the audience. Thank you for the memories. Eternally grateful. So that pretty much sounded like him signing off like, hey, this was it. My last movie. I'm gone. I'm done. So he did a little bit afterwards say, hey, I should clarify that I know I did tweet something that made a lot of people think it was in some way a spoiler. And that regardless of how Avengers 4 ends, I would have tweeted exactly the same thing. The last day of filming was a very emotional day. and it was the culmination of almost 10 years of filming and 22 movies.
Yeah, I don't understand why people thought that that was a spoiler when everybody knows that his contract is up and everybody knows that no matter the outcome of the film, he's stepping away from the right. world. So it's exactly. a fair tweet, and it has nothing to do with the content of the movie. Again, people reading too much into the ending without, like, just let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I very much agree with that. I think, unless folks... Look, here's the thing. If folks were completely unplugged and didn't know that, well, then they probably wouldn't have seen the tweet.
Because yeah, or else they'd know plenty of other things.
They would have had to have not been on the internet or things like Twitter to be avoiding that type of news and information. So, no, it's, yeah, like you said, Liz, it's not really a spoiler because everyone knows his contract is done. I mean, that's...
Well, even if, let's say, they kept him on a, like, a provisional basis of, like, we want to use you as cameos or not fully wrapped, like, maybe, let's just say and put it out there that if that was happening, I still think he would feel like there was this big sort of ending as in the telling of that story anyways of a 10-year journey, and that that would still be a fair tweet, even if he was remaining on and doing another film or whatever, it would still feel that way to him.
Yeah.
Well, and, okay, so... And not everyone is as plugged into, you know, the ins and outs of you know, contracts and stuff as we are. So there might be people who honestly don't know that he's done after this movie. I mean, full disclosure.
Yeah, but then they're not on Twitter. Definitely they're not on Twitter then, because then they'd know.
Some people, it's possible that some people in the social media spheres don't know. Full disclosure, my mom stopped reading the Harry Potter books after the fourth one. Somehow she managed to not get the spoiler about Dumbledore's death until she saw the movie.
Yeah, but Twitter was a different place back then. That was a while ago.
I get that.
Twitter was kind somehow, back then.
Yeah, I get that. But still, you know, there are people who are no matter, you know, who just live under rocks.
I don't think those people are on Twitter. So I see what you're saying, but I don't see that if those people are mad about reading that, then they would, I just think they would have been on Twitter the whole time. You know, if they saw his tweet and were upset, like, what are they doing on Twitter? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, and at least saying that for most people, obviously we can't speak in absolutes. There's going to be some folks who kind of squeak through in this over some weird circumstance. But yeah, I would just think that most folks who are on the internet, who are on Twitter, who do follow Chris Evans, who are fans of the Avengers films, probably already know this information. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, also, I don't think there was backlash for that tweet either. From what I saw on Twitter, everybody was like really receptive to it in a positive light. Has there been backlash?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. There might be some trolls somewhere, but aren't there always?
They don't care.
There was a couple of hours that Star Wars trolls weren't busy.
Those are the Russians.
They needed something to do, and they said, "Hey, here's a target."
Those are the Russians. They're not real trolls. They're Russians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read that article?
I don't think that's confirmed.
I don't think it's a real, I think we were at injecting a little conjecture in there because there's not a real controversy or backlash over it. He's just trying to make sure he's not spoiling anything, which I don't think he is.
Yeah, I think he was covering his tracks. And maybe it was even Marvel that said something to him like, hey, dude, you kind of like gave it away.
You kind of blew it here.
If people didn't already know.
I think he gave the title of Avengers 4 in his little tweet. People just didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, someone will have to translate it from there. So let's see. At Fan Expo Vancouver, speaking of actors saying some things, Benedict Wong, who plays Wong in Doctor Strange, had mentioned to folks there that they were going to be starting filming on Doctor Strange 2 by the end of this year.
Awesome.
Yay.
Which is really exciting, and obviously there's not too much time left to this year, only about 2.5 months. and a couple of major holidays in that as well. But I think it's great news that they're going to be reconvening folks and starting principal photography.
Well, how do they know he makes it out of Infinity War?
No one knows anything. We just talked about that.
Mike, haven't you been listening to the past 20 minutes?
Nope. Nobody knows anything.
That's right.
Oh. And we don't want to know. And if you tell us, you are on my list. I have a list, and I'll put you on.
Somehow I believe that. Oh,
it's so that if I ever become a vigilante, I can know who to take care of first.
Yeah.
Guys, please don't ban me if you have to fire Mike.
Oh, no, we won't. We won't.
Oh, good.
And Tim doesn't have firing power, only I do.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Wow.
He's safe so far.
Yes.
an item that we talked about a little bit on the last Random Chatter episode is that ScarJo is going to get parity in her pay for the Black Widow film that's going to be coming up. So she's going to be getting the same amount as Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth have gotten for their most recent standalone movies, which is rumored to be around $15 million.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that is fantastic. It's great that that is happening. This is obviously something that has needed to happen.
Yeah.
I thought she already had a movie come out about her.
Hmm.
Wasn't that Red Sparrow one that came out earlier this year?
Don't take my words out of my mouth, Mike. I said that exact same thing.
Mike?
I said, please. I refuse to see that stinking movie because it's the Black Widow movie we should have had, only worse.
Mike, yeah. Please don't provoke the Lizzie.
No, he can provoke the Lizzie. We're good.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
Okay. Okay.
So here's a real interesting article that came from WeGotThisCovered.com. They're... suggestion here, and they've apparently have gotten some information from some folks that the MCU is interested in the character of Norman Osborn.
Okay.
Now you guys know who Norman Osborn is, right?
Yeah.
Can we go with the MCU's interested in every character that they're about to get? Of course, they are.
except that Norman Osborn is still technically owned by Sony, isn't he?
Yes, because Norman Osborn, for folks who may not know, is
the
Green Goblin. And
he'll be in the next Venom movie.
And obviously, the Sony Spider-Man universe here.
Oh, that's right.
So there's been some things that have been said, apparently that the character of Sonny Birch from Ant-Man and Wasp, who was the guy who was trying to steal Hank Pym's stuff and sell them to some unknown person.
Why can't I think of the actor's name right now?
I don't remember either.
Was that Lawrence Fishburne's character?
No.
Okay, never mind.
So there are folks saying that Sonny Birch may actually be Norman Osborn. He was using a pseudonym, and we may see him later on.
Okay. And if that's the case, I'm pissed.
Oh boy, here we go.
Uh-oh.
I don't like the actor who played that for Norman Osborn at all.
You know, I didn't really either. I think there's a lot better options out there. This, to me, seems like a stretch.
Walton Goggins is his name.
Okay.
He's not a bad actor.
Who I know is a listener. And, I mean, you know, Walt, we don't mean to bash you. But
definitely.
He's in Sons of Anarchy. He was in The Hateful Eight. He was in the newest Tomb Raider. He was in Cowboys and Aliens, Predator. He's been in a lot of things. I don't not like him as an actor. I just think that, like, Norman Osborn is, like, next level.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And also... I take back what I said before because I was thinking Fox for some reason. Obviously, they're Sony. But I think the obvious thing is that Marvel wants all the Spider-Man characters too. They want all their characters back. That's what they want.
Right.
So, and because they've already made a crossover with Spider-Man, things are up in the air as far as negotiation, I think, with Sony, because if it means making more money, which Spider-Man did, Sony may open the door. And they want Spider-Man in their, you know, they wanted, you could feel that they wanted Spider-Man and Venom, personally.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like, of course they want those characters, but don't tell me, if it's that, I'm going to be mad at them. I'm going to hate that. And you know it takes a lot for me to be mad at them, but I will be pissed.
So a lot of this is coming from a tipster who seems to regularly have some good information into the MCU.
I don't like rumors like this, and I'm going to say it's garbage.
One out.
And,
Sony.
And he's saying that Marvel wants Norman Osborn. They have big plans for him in the MCU beyond Spider-Man, which is another reason why they're going to try their best to extend their contract with Sony. Obviously, you know, this all remains to be seen. Marvel hasn't confirmed anything. Sony hasn't confirmed anything. But apparently what they're claiming here is that Feige has asked Sony not to use Osborn in any of their upcoming movies because they have interest in using him.
So, I mean, I'd be okay as far as Norman Osborn playing MCU. Sony, to me, if I'm looking at this at a business as a business perspective here, that Sony, if they were to sell back the rights to Marvel and they were to give it up kind of like Fox, if Sony were to give their stuff back to Marvel, I think Sony, in essence, would be shooting themselves in the foot because, yes, they could get a big chunk of change by giving those back to Marvel, but at the same time, as long as they hold the rights to them and partner with Marvel, they are still raking in some of that dough
yes.
for those movies that are made. So Sony would be, in essence, dumb to give those rights back to Marvel. They would be smart to keep it and let Marvel keep coming to them and saying, hey, can we use this character? We'll pay you this much money. You'll get this much of the profits yeah. if you let us use a character. That's what Sony needs to do. Now, I understand Marvel fans want Marvels to own all the characters. I get that. But I feel like if you do that, you almost open a door to have only two main comic book industries. You'll have Warner Brothers and Marvel, and you won't have a third or a fourth one in there because Fox is getting soaked up by Marvel, by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to want a third person on the board, so they're going to let Sony keep it, but just partner with them.
I think it's only a problem if they don't make good movies. If Marvel and DC weren't making good movies, then having a third company would be necessary, but it's not necessary because good movies are being made. So I don't really see the necessary for keeping it over there, other than the fact that it already is over there, so it is what it is. And I agree that I don't see Sony selling it back to them. Hello, that's why they made the stupid Andrew Garfield ones, because they didn't want it to go back to Marvel.
I liked those ones.
I like the Andrew Garfield ones.
They're useless
because otherwise
and unnecessary.
Yeah, the terms of their contract would have expired if they didn't if they didn't make those movies.
It's the same as the stupid Fantastic Four. It's unnecessary, and your story that you're telling doesn't have a purpose. It doesn't have a goal. It is merely to keep a property, and I have no respect for that kind of a goal.
Yeah.
Do something
with your character. That's why I respect the heck out of what they're trying to do with Venom, because they're actually trying to think of what they can do with Venom and turn him into something without the use of Spider-Man. Now, they're sort of cut off there. So I respect that decision. I had no respect for the Andrew Garfield choice.
Now,
I thought that was just a power grab, and
now
I hated
which,
it.
Now, which Fantastic Four are you referencing? The most recent one or the other two?
Well, obviously the most recent one, but the other two were just as grabby as that one was.
Well, see, I actually have not seen the most recent one. I've bought it. It's still in its plastic wrapper. I just hadn't seen it because I've been told it's been awful.
Oh, you can leave it in there.
I thought the others were okay.
I've seen it. I don't hate any of them.
It was nice to see Captain America play a different character.
I mean, completely different character.
That's actually how, like, Chris Evans is going to play this out in Avengers 4 is
he's going to go down.
He's going to grab his shield and then say "Flame on!"
Yes.
And we're all going to be confused because there's going to be some wild character gone, you know, supernova flying through the sky with a Captain America shield. It's going to be crazy.
That would actually be kind of awesome.
I like the old ones. I like the old first one. The second one is meh. But even those, it just felt like, the landscape was different back then because comic book movies were like, oh, we made a comic book movie, blah. It wasn't like, here's our 12-year plan. Like, like, here's the map of our vision for where, you know, they're going to end up or whatever. So it wasn't like that. So it was a one-off. I really liked the first one. The second one's useless. But the newest one is completely a grab to keep the properties. And I don't like when they do that. Tell a good story. Sit down and tell a good story. But it seems like what they were doing was just like, we can't have it go back to Marvel and let's make a movie. And that I have no respect for, which is why I like what they're doing with Venom. So,
and what's interesting here is that we've talked about a pretty significant slate of films that Sony has mentioned to be coming out in this Spider-Verse.
Not yet, the Sumac.
There's no indication of Green Goblin being part of that. And Green Goblin is
pretty big.
I mean, I would consider one of the primary villains of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And has been for a very long time.
Yeah, it almost seems wrong to not bring Goblin into...
Yeah.
Into the Spider-Man storyline.
They're going to bring him in an actual Spider-Man film. And link it up
to the MCU somehow.
How?
Well, and maybe that. But, you know, we have obviously the Venom film. We have Morbius the Living Vampire. We have Black Cat and Silver Sable that have been talked about. Kraven the Hunter. All these other ones. There's no Green Goblin. And quite honestly, if there's anyone who could carry their own storyline pretty darn well, I think it's Norman Osborn.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How ironic and how awesome would it be and funny would it be to think about, like, when we go see Avengers 4, the end credit scene be nothing but a black screen but the Green Goblin's laugh.
No.
At the end of the Avengers 4. I mean, as a launching pad for the next, how funny would that be? Is all you hear is the laugh of the Green Goblin.
I'd hate every minute of it.
Or you would see the Green Goblin fly over the screen like really quickly. So then you would know this is who they're setting it up for. So all this stuff has been under wraps until the next phase.
That's not happening.
Okay. I maybe have a slightly different take on this. It seems. I mean, don't get me wrong, this is not a slight against the character of Norman Osborn. Norman Osborn is huge. But it seems kind of small potatoes.
Yeah, you're not going from Thanos to Norman. Give me a break.
I was
going to
say exactly the same thing.
Give me a break.
I get that. I get that. That's not what I'm saying.
Unless
it's some kind of red herring where, okay, Norman Osborn is being set up to appear to be the, you know, main villain for the next iteration of the MCU.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be Galactus or something like that.
Right. So, and that's what I'm saying. So, like, when you had the first Avengers movie...
Or maybe he's working for Galactus. I don't know.
When you had the first Avengers movie, in essence, Loki was the big bad of that Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, you had Ultron. And then the third one, you found out they were all kind of working behind the scenes to lead up to Thanos. So how would it be if that maybe Norman would be the first big bad, like the first one of the new step of the Avengers? He's the big bad that will kind of weave his way up to the first Avengers movie. And then they'll have somebody else for the next one.
But somehow
they'll be linked together at the end.
You could never do it in Avengers 4 because that is too close to Thanos and there has to be a breath between that because it's a step down. Loki and Ultron to Thanos is a stepping stones up, you know? You can't go backwards.
Well, they can still have a mid-credit scene for something else.
If it's Goblin, I'm going to...
Or the ant playing drums again. I mean, we could have that.
I have to agree with this premise. Norman Osborn, Green Goblin, is a great Spider-Man villain. he's a great villain for Spider-Man to fight and maybe Spider-Man and one or two other superheroes, but that's pretty much it. I mean, he's not like Avengers quality nemesis, unless there's some other thing that he has. Like suddenly he was able to rebuild an Ultron and now there's an army of Ultrons with him or something.
Or sure, if that's Sinister totally Six. Legit.
But,
or Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, and I mean, we know they're not going to build up to that in the MCU because Sony's not going to give away that much.
Yeah.
I kind of
like the, as much as, you know, like I said, Norman Osborn is not anything to be taken lightly, but I kind of like the idea of him being kind of like a rare red herring. I mean, we were talking in the bonus segment about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and suddenly I have this vision of Norman Osborn filling the type of role that the nemesis in season 6 of Buffy filled until we found out that Willow was evil.
Yeah.
Kind of right. Something like that.
Well, I think that the emotion that Avengers 4 is going to bring isn't going to lend to the kind of buildup that they've been doing for the past 10 years because they haven't. Because this is the end game of a 10-year journey, not the kicking off point of the next journey. Not to say that they won't add little teasers or anything, because that's what they do and that's what they love to do. But I don't see them using Avengers 4 in that way. I see them waiting for SDCC releasing their new slate and sort of kicking off from a new vantage point, but leaving this to be like our period of mourning for the characters that we know won't be returning.
Well, right. I'm not saying use the Avengers. I'm not telling them use Avengers 4 as a jumping platform to your next one, but there's no, you know, Marvel made it big for coming up with mid-credit scene and end-credit scene. So there wouldn't be anything, even if they just have a small little clip during the end-credit scene or something, or just some kind of thing to kind of say, hey, here's a little, you know, here's a little bone or just a little teaser. And then, you know, SDCC will give you more.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but that's like another thing that like we have no way of knowing. So we're sort of just like, we're in like conjecture phase. So we have like no way of knowing.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we're speculating off of a speculation, really.
So. Double speculation.
But we do have some other Spider-Man related news here. First of all, they are going to be including Spider-Man Homecoming in the MCU Phase 3 box set.
Which is only better.
Yeah,
and so that's going to be releasing in November. So it's good that they did that. I'm glad that that was part of their contract to do some joint distribution. It just absolutely makes sense because Homecoming was a big part of that story, introducing the character prior to Civil War. So I think that's good. And Spider-Man Far From Home, it was announced, is actually going to be scored by Michael Giacchino.
Yes. I love him.
Magic,
which
man.
I'm really excited about. I mean, we're talking, Michael Giacchino is a great composer. He's done a lot of terrific things.
Lost is my favorite work of his.
I'm glad you said
great
that,
Mike. That he's going to be doing this. I think that's great.
That's my favorite work of his is Lost.
Oh, yeah. I have every single one of the CDs. I love it.
It's next level scoring. It's beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely bringing in someone who's A-list for this
I'm
stuff.
I'm excited about that.
So, news is done. So let's talk Venom.
Oh, are we ready for the main event?
I think we're ready for the main event.
Yay!
Carrie, why don't you go first and tell us what were your impressions of Venom?
Okay, so full disclosure, I am mostly familiar with Venom from the 90s cartoon. Mm-hmm. And from Spider-Man 3, and a couple of the comics, as I used to work in a comic book store, occasionally I'd page through stuff. And I was really skeptical about how they were going to manage to do a Venom movie without... Mike, stop it.
Carrie, how do you do this for two shows every week?
It's every other week. She's with me for two shows.
I am not sane, Tim. Did you not get that memo?
At least there's no potato chips. And no, Mike, that was not an invitation.
No, Mike, stop.
Listen, no lie, I legitimately forgot to hit my mute button.
Mike, you're fired.
I've been fired. I'm still here. What else is new?
Okay.
Carrie, so, you were saying about
anyway,
Venom.
Anyway, as I was saying, I wasn't sure, knowing what I knew, what little I knew of Venom, but knowing that he was basically attached to Spider-Man prior to finding Eddie Brock, I wasn't sure how they were going to manage this movie without doing that part of the storyline. That said, I've always thought of Venom as a bit of an overrated character, mostly because, you know, giving the symbiote to Peter first and then having Peter reject it, basically in all the storylines of involving Venom I've seen, mm-hmm. basically leaves him with this obsession of getting back at Peter.
Yes.
And that gets boring after a while. So I was pleasantly surprised that divorcing the whole Peter Parker Spider-Man aspect of the Venom character arc got rid of everything that I didn't like about Venom.
Interesting.
So, I was actually pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed the movie as much as I did. That said, I did have a couple of quibbles. I think because Mike and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, I think it was something to do with the sound in the particular theater I was in, but the bass in the theater had this habit of drowning out like half of what Venom and Riot were saying.
Mm.
So I was like, what did they say? I can't hear what they're like, unless they were like speaking very, very clearly, I couldn't hear what they were saying. I heard the part where Venom called himself a loser, and that's pretty much the most clear thing I heard when he was talking to Eddie in Eddie's head. And I'm not familiar, other than Venom and a little bit of Carnage, I'm not familiar with the rest of the symbiotes. So I kind of wish Riot had been the yellow symbiote.
Okay.
Because in that end fight scene, I couldn't tell which one was which. It was so dark, the colors were so indistinct from each other. It's kind of like
it was like watching a Michael Bay Transformers movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
I was going to say that. You know, yep. The problem Eric has with not being able to tell the robots apart. I have an easier time telling the robots apart than I had telling Venom and Riot apart.
It was Hulk versus Abomination. It was ridiculous, that part.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
get
that part
out of here.
I was thinking the same thing. I agree.
I wish Riot had been the yellow symbiote. At least there would have been a contrast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And or it was daytime.
I'm sorry?
Or it could have been freaking daytime. Why do they have to have all of these at night?
I don't know. Like, and then the only other thing I had a big issue with was the end credit scene.
We'll talk about those later.
We'll talk about those later. But yeah, other than that, I really liked the movie. I liked the dynamic between Eddie and Venom. I liked their, you know, their monologue, their conversations could hear them.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Except for the part where he wanted to eat Stanley.
No, Stanley's
you're not
dog.
You're not allowed to eat Stanley or his dog.
Mike, how about you? What are your impressions of the film?
I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was a nice. I know we had Ant-Man and the Wasp right after Infinity War, but I thought this was a nice breather from Infinity War as much as it could be. I enjoyed the music immensely in the movie. I can't remember his name now. The villain in the movie.
Riz Ahmed?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the head of the corporation, I thought he was a very compelling villain to me.
Oh, yeah.
He was
Carlton Drake.
Very much yes. invested in him. My backstory with Venom is kind of not there. I didn't really know much of Venom until I saw the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, and that's the first time I was ever introduced to something where someone called Venom.
Okay.
So that's all I had going in as knowledge of Venom going into this movie, besides kind of bits and pieces of where I picked up. But I enjoyed the relationship that Venom had with Eddie. I enjoyed the fact that it on some layers it addressed mental help and mental distress as well. You saw mm-hmm. him, you know, if yeah, you, if you dig agreed. In, look at it, you saw somebody who's struggling with something. And I think that was really good. I enjoyed that. My favorite scene though, in the whole movie was where Eddie needs to get to the top of the paper he used to work at. And Venom says, "Hey, I can get you to the top." And he gets up to the top. And then he said, "Can we take the elevator back down?" And then all you say, I'm not going to go the rest of it, but he's in the elevator and Venom says something not so nice to him on the way back down. But I enjoyed it. It was a popcorn flick. I thought it was a good kind of superhero cult / anti-hero mm-hmm. movie. I didn't have any issues as far as Carrie mentioned, as far as the sound in her theater. I didn't notice that. I was able to pick up on it pretty well. But I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was one of the better ones I've seen lately. I wouldn't mind them going and doing a second one, which I think they are kind of setting up. They did catch me off guard in the end when he is sitting with his
Cletus Kasady.
Yep.
Cletus, yeah.
Yep, when he's sitting with her and you think Venom is gone.
When he's sitting with Anne.
And he, and I really thought Venom was gone somehow. They were maybe a one-off movie, and then you just all of a sudden when he's walking away, you hear Venom talking, and I'm like, oh, did not see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. I really did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was one of the better ones.
I kind of didn't believe he was completely gone. I'm just trying to figure out how he survived.
If
that's going to feed into how we get Carnage in the sequel, should there be one?
Yeah, see, the Venom survival is something I don't need to know. I think it was an inconsequential thing.
Yeah, same. I
like that they gave us those 2 minutes of suspense, but yeah, he's, you know, this alien symbiote thing. It's cool. I'm good with it.
And I know this kind of may be an unpopular opinion, but I've seen, we've had 3 superhero movies this year. We've had Venom, Infinity War, and Ant-Man and Wasp.
So 2.5.
2.5.
The worst.
So I may get Tim's applause on this to a point. I actually rank Venom right now until I see Aquaman as kind of my number one favorite this year, then Infinity War, and then Ant-Man and Wasp.
Wow. That's pretty high praise.
Because, and the only reason I do that is because I kind of knew what I was expecting going in Infinity War. We knew it was going to be heavy. We knew it was going to be a lot of characters. We're pulling them from everywhere. You're going to have to be looking everywhere. You're going to have to rewatch it over and over and over again to make sure that you picked up on, you know, what you missed, what you didn't get. There was so much going on in 2.5 hours of Infinity War mm-hmm. that you knew there was going to be a part two. So you knew something was going to cliffhang on the end of it. That this was one of those almost you could go in, watch it. It's a one and done, nice movie. Then you're done. And it was good. It was a good super movie in my mind. So that's kind of why it's up there right now until Aquaman comes out.
Good. I think Infinity War doesn't really get to just sit in a category with a lot of the other ones only because they're doing something unprecedented
right.
and it's not meant to be a one-off movie. And I think Ant-Man and Wasp is a one-off movie, and if you want it, those two can go together. A lot of the other MCU is, but like Infinity War can't be put against any of those others because you're right. It's too heavy for that. It's this culmination. It's contingent on the outcome. Like there's a lot going on in that one, so I wouldn't put it in any category. I don't think it could be ranked against anything else. accurately. You know what I mean? It's like a completely different weird thing.
I was just saying simply because of the fact you had so much you were having to watch in Infinity War.
Yeah, I agree.
And so much crammed in there. It's like they took Venom and they had 2 hours to spread it out and tell a story that focused on one person's struggle, one person's character. And, and I've always enjoyed those. That's why I enjoyed something like the first Ant-Man. I know Tim hates that. And the first, and, you know, in the Wonder Woman movie, because you're driven by one person. Do I like the team-up movies? I do, when they're spread out. And Infinity War was spread out from the other ones that had come out. I think they
tend to not be able to be ranked against, like, Justice League can't be ranked against, like, Man of Steel, because you've got something completely else going on in that where it's, like, next level, which is, I think, Infinity War versus those. I mean, it's tough to call that one just, like, a superhero film, because it's, like, all the superheroes film.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I get what you're saying. It totally doesn't even, like, it can't even be put in a category with a movie that's just, like, come enjoy, because Infinity War is, like, come get your heart ripped out.
So, Lizzie, what do you have for us for Venom? What are your thoughts?
Okay, well, I liked it. I really did like it. I felt like they were really utilizing Tom Hardy's acting ability. He's an excellent actor. Mad Max Fury Road is one of my favorites in recent history. I watch it over and over all the time. And he's not even the highlight of the movie, but he's still pulling so many punches in that film. You know what I mean? And I just felt like they really utilized his acting talent. There's a scene that really stands out to me. It's the scene when he's goes into the restaurant and Anne and the doctor boyfriend are sitting there and he's like, I have a parasite. And he's super crazy. And he gets in the lobster tank and he's just off. And you can see that Venom is tormenting his mind and he doesn't know what to do. And that to me was like the summation of how good Tom Hardy was in this role. I agree with Carrie that the relationship between Venom and Eddie Brock was the most compelling part of this film for me. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I was totally pulled in. I love, like Mike said, the sort of like peeling back a little of the conversation about mental health and how do we address it. And this is obviously next level mental health if you've got a outer-worldly parasite taking over your body. But I think it's such an adjacent conversation to what's happening in our world, like as far as mental health. So to sort of address it in a comic book way is what comic books do best, is when they address real world issues in an otherworldly, wearing tights, crazy kind of a way. And so I thought that this was just a really beautiful way to portray that. For me, I thought Riot was like, meh. I thought Riz Ahmed did great as Carlton Drake. I would have liked to see him be more of a bad guy without a symbiote, because I thought that muddied it a bit and it made me feel like, oh, you're missing Spider-Man as the protagonist here. Like you're missing that connection between the two because this isn't as strong for me.
Sure.
So that for me was like, it didn't make me not enjoy the film. Nothing in it made me not enjoy the film. But there were some parts like that where I was like, it really feels like you're struggling to find your voice without Spider-Man. And we, those of us who know the background know you don't get to have him. So you're really trying to play around that hole. So
now see, the biggest issue I had with Carlton Drake as far as the character is, and maybe this is because I've been listening to too much Star Trek lately, but I kind of am over the whole, you know, mad scientist villain thing. Like,
It is a well-worn trope.
Well, I don't think he was so much mad scientist, though. I think he was more like businessman and innovator. And I thought that more spoke to our real world Mark Zuckerbergs, Jeff Bezos, like those kinds of types. And I thought that was a really beautiful commentary on what we see in this world, the conversation of cloning, the conversation of technology taking over. He was
the moral implications of, you know, trying to do what it is he was trying to do. It also was kind of creepy because this came out like just after, you know, months of like Elon Musk going off the deep end on Twitter and stuff. So just like it kind of creeped me out a bit watching like this Elon Musk type character just kind of go completely amoral about in the name of science.
But that's what I liked about, that's what I wanted to see more of from Riz Ahmed, rather than like, I end up being a symbiote like Venom. Like, I was like, that's stupid Abomination versus Hulk. And we're done with that. We don't need another Doomsday. We don't need another turtle, stupid turtle looking thing that like looks like anything else. Like, I'm
well,
so
it's not like he was actively
tired of that.
Trying. It's not like he was actively trying to become the symbiote until the very end.
No, I know, but I mean, from a writer's standpoint, not from a character standpoint. You know what
True.
I mean? Like, like, just don't put it in there. Let him be the ultimate bad. Let him be. I loved when he was like sort of manipulating things and getting the pieces into place himself. I hated that Riot was moving his way there. I was like, oh, this is what's going to happen. You know, I was like, get him out of there. You've already got a really compelling story between the guy who's like, is it the conversation is like, if it takes an otherworldly symbiote to cure cancer or get us off this planet or save our resources, is it worth it? You know, that's sort of what he was,
right.
he was dealing with there. And I thought, that's so interesting. And like, I thought that they really were stretching for, well, stretching to find the connection between Venom and Riot. Like, they're not, there's no connectivity between those two, except for that they're both symbiotes. Like, Riot wants to go back and get all the symbiotes and take over the world, and Venom likes humans now. I was like, what is happening? I don't, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, directly after watching the movie, I talked to my friend Alan, who's a huge fan of the comic books, and he sort of talked to me about the comic book threads, and I was like, I wish I didn't know that, because it made me like Venom so much less, knowing where Venom comes from, knowing that the symbiotes aren't like a warring entity. The war inside of them is put in by the humans, and I was like, that is so much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And to lose that connective tissue and to just be like, all right, it wants to start a war. But why wouldn't Venom? Why wouldn't Venom? That doesn't make sense to me. So that's where they lost me like a little bit. And it's still like, again, I felt like, oh, they've lost that connective tissue that is Spider-Man. And they really are lacking the way that Venom's original origin story came about. So that part to me, I was just like, I wish I didn't know that. I liked it more walking out of the theater than afterwards when I started doing more research and talking to people about the actual like character of Venom in the comic books. I was like, oh, they missed it. They missed who Venom is, I felt like, you know, like that overall. So there was a lot that I liked, and in my initial reaction was really high, and then it started to tuple a little bit when I was like, where are they going with this? You know, so.
Yeah, they made some interesting writing choices with this. And as you guys mentioned, they did change the Venom origin story a fair amount.
Yeah.
And that's really because the Venom origin story centers on Spider-Man. Yeah. And this film, they intentionally stayed away from Spider-Man. And I'm cool with that because I do think that the character can stand on its own. I liked Riz Ahmed's character, but I agree that Riot was very undeveloped. They really didn't. Well, they kind of built the threat of Riot in terms of like, okay, you have this other symbiote who has this very intentional journey to get, I guess, either to the Rocket or to Venom or whatever. They really didn't build up the real threat of that character. I mean, they didn't really show Riot's strength beyond just a couple of little things here and there. He kills this person, he kills that person, whatever. No.
I don't think they fully developed him as Riot. When they,
right?
Yeah.
No,
right. Now the character before that, yes, I thought he was very, very well developed. But as far as Riot goes, no, I think they just kind of went run and gun real quick, and that's about it.
Now, see, I almost would have found it more interesting if Venom had ended up fighting Riot while Riot was still in possession of either, like, the little girl or the old lady. I just would have found that more interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of taking over Riz Ahmed's character.
It just felt lazy for them to do the black-on-black-on-black thing rather than the two people with the enhanced ability because of the symbiote. You know, like, that felt lazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was something a little bit lacking there, and they could have done better with that. That said, I completely agree that the, portrayal of Eddie Brock was fantastic. It was like spot on. And I loved, like what you guys said, the interaction between him and Venom. And I love that they had, you know, this is the almost like schizophrenic kind of thing. This is the voice in your head. And for a while, they kind of struggled, but then they really pulled together and became one. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool journey for them to be taking. And I appreciated that aspect of being able to like follow and watch that journey on film. Cause I thought that was very cool. I love the humor that was brought into it. Eddie Brock certainly had a measure of humor himself, and it was more of a little self-deprecating kind of thing, because of course he was portrayed as, hey, this is the guy who lost his job because he went too far. He lost his girlfriend. He's a loser. And then Venom comes in, and even though Venom did kind of reveal a little bit of his story that, hey, in my world, I'm the loser, but he's just like insanely powerful, and he empowers Eddie, and he gives Eddie this confidence, and because they're sharing a mind, they're able to have these conversations like, oh yeah, hey, you know, you can't just go out and indiscriminately kill anyone. You know, if we're going to do that, they should just be really bad people. And, you know, then here's the guy who's shaking up the shop owner again. And it's like, if they were two separate characters on the screen, you would know that they would have given each other a look. Like, hey, this is the person we can go after, right? Oh, yeah, totally. That's a person we can go after. You know, and I love that they did it. And even though we saw much of that scene in the trailer, I still laughed my butt off when we saw it in the movie.
Oh, yeah. There it's like watching someone play good cop and bad cop all at the same time.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was that you'll be an armless, legless, faceless turd rolling down the street in the wind or something.
Yeah,
that was just fantastic. There were some really, really good one-liners that came from it.
And then when he told the shop owner, when she gave him that weird look, I have a parasite in me.
Yeah.
Oh,
so yeah, it was overall, I liked it. It was a good movie. It was a funny movie. I'm looking forward to owning it. It was definitely a lot of fun. It wasn't perfect. There were some issues with it. And quite honestly, like I even think the first act was kind of a slow burn, and I know that they were trying to introduce the characters and all that, but it just felt like, okay, you know, we can move, we can get things going. But then once it hit the second act, it really found a great stride and did really well.
Yeah, there's about 5-10 minutes where I thought the symbiote that turned out to be Riot was actually Venom, and Venom was the one trying to make his way across the ocean to free the other symbiotes.
Right.
That was a nice bit of a red herring there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a mid-credit scene and a post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
The mid-credit scene was awesome.
I don't like Woody Harrelson for this role, I'm not going to lie.
Oh my God, I don't either.
No, I'm not into it at all.
I don't either, and I didn't like the wig.
Nope.
The wig,
I know that that's comic really booky. Woody,
but man, I do not like him for the role of Cletus. No.
He the wig looked really fake. Yeah. I could not get over it. That took me, as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, I'm out of it now.
It was a little too carrot top for me.
Yeah.
I thought coming out of him just having been in Solo, I was like, no.
Yeah.
I love Woody. I think he's such a talented actor. And I hate when an actor gets to that point where they're literally in everything, because it means work for them. And I like him and I want him to have work. That's great. But like, I just was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's
okay, so I'm the only one who kind of liked that scene.
Oh, Carrie.
See, but I, Well,
I liked it better than the other one.
I'm excited for the
other
scene
one doesn't count
because of the things that were not Woody Harrelson. I'm excited, you know, for folks who don't know, Cletus Cassidy is the person who becomes the host of another symbiote known as Carnage. And I truly, truly hope I don't want to see Carnage in the next movie. I actually don't.
I want to build.
I want Carnage to be the Thanos. I want this buildup of all this stuff in this Spider universe. I just like don't throw Carnage at us right away.
The Sumac.
Spider-Man universe of the Spider-Man Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Sony's universe of Marvel characters, and it's the dumbest name ever come across my plate. It's so stupid.
Do for us what the MCU did with Thanos, where you know they would sprinkle in
these
mid-credit scenes after a whole bunch of movies and build it and build it and build it, and then he's there. And that's really that's absolutely what I want to see with Carnage.
No one else knows how to do that, though. They're all, it's like, throw it up and see if it lands. I was like, oh my God. First of all, did you have to say there's going to be Carnage? Are you joking?
That was a little goofy. Yeah, they didn't have to do
little?
That.
A little? I was like, why don't you just wear a giant stamp on your face that says, I'm Carnage? Like that. I was like, that is the dumbest thing I've heard in my whole life, and I hate it.
Well,
that.
Okay, to be honest, I know so little of Carnage that people have to constantly remind me that Cletus is the guy who gets Carnage.
Sure,
yeah, but
fair enough.
So when he said there's going to be Carnage, I went, oh crap. This is going to be some insane stuff.
But the thing about it is, for me, is that, like, Marvel does such a light hand with theirs. It's not like, there's going to be Thanos. Like, no, you have to go do homework, and if you don't know who it is, you got to ask somebody. And I love that about it, because it's subtle as hell. And I don't like it just being beat over the face with it, with Carnage. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Well, was I the only... I may have been the only one, and because I really don't know much of Venom in the backstory and stuff like that. I almost... For some reason, I thought Carnage was the main villain of this movie going in.
I thought
and
so
then,
too.
And then when it got out, when it was right, I'm like, wait a minute. I thought.
Yeah, who is this guy?
I thought it was supposed to be Carnage. Because that's the way I saw it in the trailers and the promotional toys. And I'm like, okay, so Carnage is the bad guy. I get that. So this would be interesting. And then when it wasn't, I'm like, wait a minute.
Carnage is bright red. You might know the difference in the future, but yeah.
Well, I
don't. I will say that bright red would have contrasted much better with the black than gray.
Yeah, I think.
I get what you guys are saying.
I just think the heavy-handedness of it was just ridiculous to me. And I think the other thing that I think is going to be really disappointing with Carnage is again how they have not set the lore of the symbiotes up to know that like they're a peaceful race or entity and it's the humans that make them crazy or not. And it's you know, and so for Carnage to meld with a serial killer is and to get in its blood is what number one makes him red and number two what makes him super psychotic. That's so interesting.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like we've already missed it because you don't even get the fact that Venom's crazy because he melded with Deadpool. So that's gone. And mm-hmm. I know they couldn't do it, but there's just things missing from that piece, you know? And so what are they going to even do with Carnage? Because they're not even going to be able to handle him correctly because that is the piece that makes him epic, you know?
Well,
but Tim,
going to be doing yet. So, no.
Yeah, but
we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
The threat of what they can't do is apparent, though. And I think that's the difference with, like, conjecture with spoilers versus, like, seeing where they're not, where they're sort of cut off from being able to go, you know?
Yeah. The best we can have, I think, right now is confidence that they are going to handle it well and see how it goes.
I don't have that.
And, you know, if we get a build up to Carnage that is remotely anything like what they did with Infinity War, I would be absolutely thrilled.
Yeah.
If but do they, you think that's going to happen, Tim?
If they don't have the patience to do it and they just say, eh, heck with it, Venom 2 is going to be our Carnage movie. Well, all right, that's fine. Do it well and I'll probably still enjoy it. I'll be a little disappointed that they missed the opportunity for the build, but if they're going to go for the easy cash, whatever, they'll still get mine.
They went for the easy, there's going to be Carnage, so I really don't see them being, like, light-handed with the spoiler, you know, with the build-up. Like, that to me was, like, a giant stamp of, like, next movie.
Well,
and I was like, all right.
Fine. You know, consider how many people in the general movie-going population would actually know what that refers to. So
yeah, but again, you're coming from a Marvel universe where nobody knew anything and the buy-in was high from the get-go. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, people did the homework. They went and found out. They went and asked questions. So this is like, oh, you dummies, you don't know who Carnage is. Let me hit you over the face with it. Rather than saying, like, those of you who know are going to get a wink and a nod because you know who Cletus is, and those of you who don't are going to find out soon. Watch what happens. And to me, I was like, you lost it. Like, you lost the whole thing. Like,
yeah, in that moment, they could have certainly left it a little bit more suspenseful if they just said, yeah, this is Cletus Kasady, and, you know, they have their Silence of the Lambs moment there, and they just kind of leave it as it is.
Yeah, like, there's no wink to the audience or expectation that they're smarter than just, like, I don't know anything. You may not know anything, but maybe you're so captivated by what you just saw that now you want to know more. And I think that's what is missing from it for me, is that, like, yeah. that one thing that I was like, okay. I mean, I liked the movie, but I was just like, well, that just was over the top in a way that did not, that it cut it just a little bit for me, that I was like, if there was somebody in the camp that was like, let's just sprinkle a little bit of that on. Don't put the whole handful in, just a little sprinkle. Like, that's what keeps people, like, really, like, on the reel for me. And I was like, ah, well, okay. So can't all be Marvel, can we?
So the post-credits scene is probably one of the longest post-credits scenes that has ever existed.
And yeah, it doesn't count.
That was the biggest issue I had, is that it's pretty. I liked it. It completely took me out of the feel of the movie.
It was a mistake.
And it was just too long.
Really?
Well, let's talk a little bit about it just to give folks context in case they forgot what it was.
Go ahead.
So you had Peter Parker, who was played by Nick Miller. And
well, you've got the I was waiting upcoming to see Lizzie Into the Spider-Verse. Up. Yeah, I did. I know who's
all right,
who's
all right,
doing
all right.
It. Who are you talking to, Mike? Of course I knew it was Nick Miller. Jake Johnson's on my boyfriend list, okay?
Yeah, so this is animated. Yeah. I mean, basically, this was a promo for Into the Spider-Verse, which is the upcoming animated film that's going to happen.
Which is the next film for Sony.
Yes.
But it's not.
I get that.
And so this is where we have this kind of epic multiverse crossover of all the different Spider-Man and Spider-Man-like characters around. And it centers on the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man. And it was funny. I thought it was good. It's because it's kind of like this comedy of errors type of thing. And they did things that you can really only get away with in animation. It was fun. It went a little too long. I mean, I did not expect to see like this feature length promo at the end of the movie and having had to wait through the credits to get to it.
It is a show of not understanding what an end credit scene is even for. And it is a gratuitous use of a trailer at the end of a movie. No, thank you.
Well, it
really was. I don't disagree.
I'm excited to see this movie. And that made me pissed off at the movie that I was already excited to see.
I don't think it was intended to be an end credit scene. I think it was intended to say, hey, listen, you've come and seen, you know, our Venom movie. Let us also put this one out there for you. This is coming soon as well. And here's just a little preview of it. I didn't see it as something to catch all. I just saw it as, we just want to give you a little preview of what's coming up here in November.
But I
was okay with it there.
But the problem with that is we already got a trailer for Into the Spider-Verse before the movie.
But now we're getting a five-minute clip.
Maybe not all theaters did, but most, I mean, I did. I got trailers for all the super movies coming out in the next 6 months.
I didn't get Aquaman.
I think regardless,
I got the original Aquaman trailer.
No, I got Captain Marvel and Spider-Verse.
I got that one too.
I think regardless of whether or not this is Sony's next project and they want people to see it, which is completely valid to have it be shown as part of a package with Venom, that makes sense to me. Say, tag it onto the Venom, have it be a short in the beginning, make sure it's part of the package. But to have it be at the end, you can't ignore what end credit scenes have become, whether you are part of the process at Marvel or whether you are not. The landscape of that has changed. And what you did was capitalize on people who stay for end credit scenes and then pull the rug out from under them and say, ha ha, it doesn't have anything to do with the movie you just watched. It's a promo for our next movie. No. Sorry. No. Yeah. You use the end, even if I didn't care for the mid credit scene or I was like, all right, that's like enough of you. I still felt that that was the right tone for their movie. It made sense there. If they had had that be at the end of the credits, I would have been very satisfied. I would have flipped them, if anything. Then I would have been happier with it. I think you completely used the power of the end credit scene and what it has become, especially to Marvel fans since you're Marvel adjacent, and you took advantage of it and used it in a bad way. It's like, no, I don't want to stay for your 7-minute promo for the movie I was already excited to see, and now you made me a little mad about it. Stop it.
Yeah, I've been trying to look to see how long that post-credit scene
is. It was about a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was long.
Yeah, that's
I can give the point that maybe it was too long. I've got no issue with that. Maybe, you know, even if it's just like a quick 2-minute clip, I've been okay with that. I think it went a little long. I was okay that the clip was there. Like I said, not all theaters have, you know, not all theaters had that before the movie. Not all theaters had that trailer before the movies. So they are trying to promote. I don't have any issue with them promoting their next property. They're wanting to get their word out. They're using that. And just the fact that we're talking about it, whether positive or negative, they're getting the promotion that they want. They're getting people talking about it. And
yeah, but tag it on somewhere else. Well, I just think that completely cuts the tone of your movie.
Well, we could put an intermission in the middle of the Venom movie and put it right there if we really wanted to. But
we'll make it the mid-credit scene.
No.
But I get what you're saying. I think it would not have been as bad if it wasn't as long as it was.
Yeah. I was okay with it being there. I just thought it was too darn long. It should have been half of the length.
First of all, the words end credit scene imply that there may be a scene that is like part of your film, perhaps. Like a scene that goes with the thing we just watched. Not like some other thing that doesn't belong here. It felt like such a diversion that I was like, don't use the name end credit scene. Call it something else. Every promo I saw, wait till the end for the end credit scene. Are you joking? Did you see it? Don't tell me to wait for that. I'm mad at you now.
The Sony Universe of Marvel characters end credit scene.
As someone
end credit trailer.
As someone who just watched Venom, it was kind of distracting, like after the movie, that suddenly I saw all this content for something else. You know, my brain had to completely switch. And then, you know, after the movie, walking out of the theater with my family, and I'm wanting to talk about Venom, but the most recent thing in my head is Into the Spider-Verse.
I wasn't
too thrilled about that. And again, if it wasn't as long, I don't think it would have had that kind of impact on me. If it was a minute or two, I would have been more accepting of it, but it was long. But that said, the content of it, I thought was still fun. I mean, just taking it for purely what it is, I thought the content of it was fun. I thought it was great. I think it was a good promo for Into the Spider-Verse, and I'm looking forward to seeing the movie.
Well, regardless of what we thought about the end credit scene, everybody who's listening needs to go see it at least 4 or 5 times Into the Spider-Verse when it comes out.
Ha, 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 ha. I wonder why that. Yeah,
I don't know.
Movie draft.
I'm trying to promote Marvel and Sony.
I don't know why you say that at all. I was like, wait, what is happening? I see.
I know. I don't know. I don't know that I can record with him anymore, especially a DC DC centric podcast. If this is the way he's going to talk about. You know, going to see a Marvel movie.
You can like both.
No, this is the Sony universe of Marvel characters.
I'm giving him a hard time.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time.
Yay.
All right, folks. All around. We're going to wrap up our episode here because we're nearing an hour and a half.
Woo.
First of all, Mike and Carrie, appreciate very much you guys joining us for this episode and talking some Marvel stuff with us. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We had a blast. I did.
Yay.
Very glad you could be here. So, folks, we certainly appreciate feedback coming our way. You can do so by sending us an email to guardians@randomchatter.com. And, of course, you can find us on Discord, both in our show chat, or you can send us individual messages.
You can also find us online at Random Chatter on Twitter. Individually, you can find me at TWT About Lizzie. You can find Tim at
Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two M's.
Our phantom host friend, John, can be found at Podcaster Supreme. That's Supreme note with no E.
I miss John. Where is he at?
I know.
Yeah.
He's got kids or something. Who knows? Nobody knows, really.
Oh, okay.
Mike, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Obi Mike Kenobi. Obi_Mike Kenobi.
Carrie, where you at, girl?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
Also, you can find us on Instagram at Random Chatter. And as you all know, it is my favorite means of social communication. And I can be found at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie, which is my brand new brand. So come find me. And if you guys are on Instagram, now is the time.
Very true.
Nobody?
Yeah.
Nobody's on Instagram? Okay.
Vaguely on Instagram.
It's most of, I think most of our Random Chatter hosts like prefer Twitter to Instagram, but it is my favorite. So you can find all our other shows at randomchatter.com. As we have sort of mentioned and talked about in the beginning, Mike and Carrie can be found on DC Talk, as well as on other podcasts as well. Right, guys? Cape Crusades?
Cape Chronicles.
Sorry.
It's all right.
My bad.
Lizzie, you're more than welcome to join us on the next one. We're talking about Batman and Batman Forever.
Oh, my favorite.
No.
Thank you. Thank you for that offer.
Yes.
So you can find them over there. We have a lot of other offerings. Tim and I are also on Random Chatter. I am also on Fangirl Confessional. Tim is also on the one about Band of Brothers that I don't remember the name of.
Dispatches from the Front.
Dispatches from the Front. I am bad in a thousand, you guys. And I don't even know baseball terms. But that sounds like what I'm doing. Anyways, definitely check out everything else we have. My brand new podcast should be coming out in November, so keep an eye out.
All right. And make sure you spread the word and support us. We need your support here on the podcast and all of our podcasts across the network by leaving reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. If you leave those reviews, I'm pretty sure your host will read them on the air. And every review you leave helps get our podcast seen more when people go looking for certain things, certain areas of discussion throughout the realm of iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. So leave reviews for us. Tell your friends about us. Let them know what you think. Let them know that you listen to these awesome podcasts, whether it be DC Talk or Guardians of the MCU or whatever podcast you listen to. You can also choose to support us by going to randomchatter.com/Patreon. It's just for $1 a month. You get access to every channel that we talked about when we mentioned Discord. If you don't want to support us, hey, that hurts. That breaks my heart. Venom will come for you. No, but if you don't support us, you only get a few lobbies. But if you support us for just $1 a month, you get all those awesome lobbies. And we have stuff from collecting to games to literature just all over Discord. So support for $1 a month. And for $5 a month, you get a special Patreon show exclusive only to you, $5 and up members. And I don't know if we have a name for that show yet.
No.
Tim?
Nope, it's just a thing that once in a while Eric and I show up to and we do some talking, and it doesn't have a name yet.
So it's the random chat on the Patreon bonus. And so make sure you do that. Also, again, if you don't need more information about Discord, go to randomchatter.com/Discord and look for us on there. We all have a good time when we're not picking at each other or having a good time making the other one cry in the corner. So.
Tim's the only one who ends up crying in a corner. And it's usually because of me.
Usually.
Aww.
All right, folks. That's it for this episode, and we will catch you next week. Take care.